This is your tech news briefing for Monday, March 23rd. I'm Kateri Yoakum, working from home for The Wall Street Journal. Over the weekend, you might have gotten a text from a friend or a relative telling you that they heard from someone who knows somebody whose cousin is in city government with some inside information about how your city or state is planning to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Well, you might want to take those friend of a friend of a friend messages with a grain of salt, because a lot of them aren't true. And in fact, this is the way that misinformation about the coronavirus has been spreading very fast. Our new personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen, will tell us what to look out for and how to stay really informed coming up. But first, it's the start of another work from home week for us, for you too, I'm sure. And the tech challenges are not going away. That's why all this week, our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be back with us, giving us her best work from home tech tips and suggestions and answering some of the questions that you have been posing to her. Hey, Joanna.
Hey, Kateri.
Okay, so first of all, have we been getting some good questions and responses from people, from listeners and readers?
So many. My inbox is on fire, basically. My computer right now is on fire with tips. In fact, one of the tips later this week is going to be how to put out the fire that your computer starts when you get all these hot tips.
Hot tips.
Yeah, hot tips.
Hot tips on fire.
They really are. And I mean, that's what I love about this is not only are we getting some good questions, but we're getting way more tips than questions. People sharing tips they've come across in the last week, but many people who are really work from home pros who have been doing this for years and years sharing some of the things that work for them in their workflows.
That's great. All right. So what's today's work from home tech tip?
So this one actually came from a reader, and I got this one specifically. This person talked about their what they do to track their time, but I've also heard this as an issue that from other readers as well. So I decided to dig into this because I don't know about you, Kateri, but a week working in from home, do you feel like working from home is like a black hole of time?
Yeah.
Like you're not sure where the time has gone?
Yes. Where did work start and my day end? When did my work day ever end? Did it ever end? Yeah. It's
what
tricky.
Did you do when you were working? That's a big thing that I have. I'm like, I'm taking on so many more projects, but I don't really know how I'm allocating my time. So the tip is to track your time. And I've been using two different apps to try and see which one is the better one. I actually like them both. One is called Toggle, T-O-G-G-L, of course, no E. Because why would there be an E? And then Clockify. And both of these work across all your devices. They've got apps for your iPhone, Android, Mac, PC, web. And both of them allow you to just put in your project name, what you've been doing, whether it's a call, whether it's, you know, were you Slacking for 20 minutes with a colleague about something to troubleshoot? Were you on a call? You want to write all of that down and track the time that you're doing it. And what I like about both of these apps is after a week's time, even after a day, you can see how much of your time you're spending on certain things in graphs and charts. That all said, I'm using a low-tech way of doing this. I'm just writing on my notepad, and I'm trying to schedule out my day. From 11 to 12, I do this. If I don't do that, I kind of just jot down that half an hour was taken up by podcasting or whatever.
Sorry, Joanna.
Yeah, and I hate to like say this, but like a notepad and a pen has actually been a lot more helpful than some of the tech tips that I've been giving this week. And it's sort of the thing you don't think to do at home because you're like, oh, at work you have all these notepads and you have all those supplies, but it may be good to invest in a good pen and paper. I will not be reviewing those, though, this week.
But those are always, you know, sometimes the best high-tech solution is a low-tech solution. And I think good high-tech people know that. So if people are running into other tech problems and they have questions for you, we're going to still be collecting them this week, right?
We are. Yeah, we want tips. We want questions. And I'm also saying we want them to be work-related, but they don't have to be work-related. I think some of the best ones we've gotten have been ways to socialize since we're all in this new weird remote socialization period and we're using Zoom and Spotify and Netflix in new ways. Well, we take those tips as well. So please email them to me at joanna.stern@wsj.com or leave us a message at our work from home hotline. The number has not changed, 314-635-0388.
All right. Joanna, thank you so much once again. after the break, how to make sure you're not getting fooled by misinformation about the coronavirus. That's coming up next. It's been a long weekend and the news has been moving very fast. I'm sure it's been difficult, even if you've had a couple of days, to keep up with the latest updates on the coronavirus. But unfortunately, you can't believe everything you read. As we've talked about many times, there's a lot of misinformation on the internet, including about the coronavirus, and it's been spreading almost as fast as the sickness itself. Here to explain how to sort out the fact from the fiction is our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Nicole, what kind of information is being shared in all of this confusion, and how do we see disinformation spreading the most?
Experts have been telling me that information now looks like hearsay from government officials. So you'll get a text from a friend of a friend who works in government and includes information like there's an upcoming lockdown, like please stock up on supplies. And so it's information that feels really close to the truth, and people are afraid They want to help their friends and family. And so that kind of misinformation is the most likely to be shared.
Where are we seeing this kind of stuff posted? You said send a text message. Are we seeing a lot of disinformation on social media or people just sharing this personally?
I think early on during the epidemic, a lot of the misinformation was shared on social media platforms like Facebook, but now the networks are really cracking down on removing any type of post that is even remotely misleading. And so now the misinformation is moving to private channels like group texts and emails where that kind of content can evade moderation.
On Friday, we heard Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speak about the fact that they're seeing disinformation coming from other countries like China, Russia, and Iran. Other government officials have said this. We've reported on this in the past. What do we know exactly about where the original information is coming from?
Not much. And really, it's because it's spread through private channels, which makes it much harder to track. And it anecdotally feels like the misinformation is all around us. But again, because a lot of it is being sent through encrypted channels like WhatsApp and iMessage, in which the contents can't be read by a server in the middle, we don't really know how it's spreading or where it's coming from.
And you have spoken to some experts about how to cut through the noise here and figure out what's true and what's not. What do they have to say? What kind of tips do you have for people?
The main takeaway is to not fixate on the misinformation and just focus on the facts from official channels like from the World Health Organization or from the CDC and reputable news outlets. And this is because research shows that the more exposed you are to a falsehood, the more likely you are to believe that it's true. So experts are really urging everyone not to reshare information forwarded to them, especially if they don't know for certain that it's true.
So where are some good sources that we should be sending people to besides the Wall Street Journal, of course?
The WHO, the CDC, the CDC actually has a great app that lets you filter content by this pandemic. You can just tap on the filter button and there's a little, text that says coronavirus disease 2019. Most major cities also have text alerts for COVID-19. So if you look that up, then you can sort of step away from the onslaught of news on Twitter and TV and just receive official information from your local authorities.
That sounds like a really great tip. That was our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And that was your tech news briefing. Don't forget to share your work-from-home tech tips and headaches with us. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be sharing her favorite tips and solutions every day right here. You can leave us a voice message at the number in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. All right. If you like this podcast, please rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.